Well, this morning we're going to be wrapping up our series where we're talking about building our faith on the foundation of Christ, where we're building something that is unstoppable, that is going to withstand all throughout eternity. And it's God that's building it in us. And we've been comparing it to that building a house and the structure of the home and how it's built. And we're going to kind of keep that theme going a little bit this morning as well. And what God has purpose and plans for every one of us, those of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is to build you into the men and women that he's always dreamed of. And that's a man or a woman that is built in the image of Christ, his son. He says, I'm doing that work within you individually, but I'm also doing a greater work. That greater work is my family, my house, my church. I'm building my church into something greater because my glory rests in my church. And for some reason, God has empowered the church and has said that, you know, Jesus actually said it, that this church, his body, is going to break down the gates of hell. And nothing is going to stop it because his glory is here and he's leading it. We talked about the inside a lot, and we're going to continue a little bit on the talking about the inside as well. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. Jesus is starting out to talk with just his disciples, a small group of people. And he's starting to tell them what they're being built into. They're being built into kingdom changers. They're being built into people that are going to reveal the glory of God to the world. And Jesus begins to teach them about what it means to be a follower of his. How we're supposed to act, react in this world, and how we're going to relate to this world. And it's really an upside down kingdom because he kind of flips it all and says, it's completely the opposite of this world is what I want you to be. And he sets his disciples down and he begins to tell them this. And he says to his disciples, remember it's to his disciples, because what happens is Jesus is preaching, people start coming. And then all of a sudden he begins to preach to a whole crowd towards the end. But right now he's kind of focused in on the followers. And he says this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Simply put, we're supposed to act and be different than the world around us. We are supposed to be salty. We're not supposed to be accepting worldviews, cultural views, and bring them in. We're supposed to look the complete opposite of the darkness that's in our world. And Jesus says, you know, if we're not salty, then we really aren't any good. Meaning that at one point you were good, meaning that at one point you were changing the world. At one point you were letting the light of Christ shine and you were sharing the message of the kingdom of God. But then somewhere you let some teachings in and it became religion. And it became something that you were just going through the motion on. And Jesus says, when we just start going through the motions, we're not salty anymore. We're not going to make a difference in his kingdom. But he says, don't let that happen to you. And then he goes on, he says, you, and he's talking to the disciples. And he says, you are the light of the world. Did you catch that? You. Believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you've accepted him as your Savior, you, it says, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, and this verse is a verse that we need to commit to our memory banks and underline in your Bible. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And we just got to get this clear. It's not about our good deeds, because you don't get salvation by doing good things. You get salvation by faith and faith alone. But once you've accepted Jesus Christ and you recognize what he did on the cross, that he laid his life down for you, he went in your tomb, he died your death, and he rose from the grave to give you life. And once you passionately recognize that, it says that good deeds come out of you. You want to do good things in this world for the glory of God. And he says, so you're supposed to have a light inside of you, and you're not supposed to have a light that's hidden either. And this is what I think has happened in church. Churches worldwide too. We've been playing religion. We know these truths. We know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We know the theology. We know the doctrine. But we've been hiding in a building. And we've been hiding that light under a bowl, even the light that you have inside of you. It's like we want to have those little moments with God, and we want to say, God, you're so great, you're so lovely, you're so precious. But we keep that light hidden. And Jesus says, you are my disciples. You can't do that. You need to take your light and put it on a stand. Why would he say to put it on a stand? Well, if you put a light on a stand, it illuminates the whole room. And here's the thing about light. Light displaces darkness. It pushes it aside. And Jesus says, that's you. That's me. We are the light of the world. Stop hiding that light. I want you to go out, and I want you to show the world what I've done. Show the world what I've done in you personally. And he says then you start doing these good deeds, not for your glory, but so that God would be revealed. And when you put your light on a stand, people are going to be able to see it. Just like a city on a hill, people can see it. I mean, if you've ever went down to town of Grand Rapids during the night, you see it lit up, and you can see it from a long way off. God has placed this church on a hill at 1612 92nd Street. I was corrected. We've been in existence for more than 160 years. Why? To just sit here, have a fancy service, have lights? No. He put us on a hill here to reveal the glory of God to the world. He put us on a hill so that our light would shine, so that people would come and they would see it, and lives would be changed. So that's what the kingdom's about. And we have to get our minds around this one simple concept, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We have to, as a body, individually, we have to gather that in and go, he is the light of the world. And you're like, well, that's Sunday schoolish. Yeah, sometimes it's basic, isn't it? We got to get back there. He is the only light. There is no other light. He is not just one of many lights. He is the only light that leads to the salvation. He is the only light that pushes back the darkness. He is the only light that brings life. And we have to get back to that. And we have to corner and shape it around this church. And put our arms around it, embrace it, and go, he is the light of the world. And we don't care what the world says about Jesus. Jesus was not just an ordinary guy that walked the face of the earth. He was God in flesh, full of the power and authority of God. He wasn't just ordinary. He's the light of the world. Jesus even says this. He says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, and I just got to give you a quick background. When Jesus says these words, an adulterous woman was brought before him. And the Pharisees, the religious people, were trying to trap him. And the religious people were trying to get him to sentence this woman to death. But instead, Jesus kind of drew these things in the ground. It doesn't say what he drew in the ground. Imagine that it might have been their sins. Bob, you're an adulterer. Or, you know, Tim, you're a liar. Or whatever he was writing. All of a sudden, people kind of went away. And then he kind of looks up and people are dispersed. He goes, they don't condemn you. I don't condemn you either. But he said this, go and sin no more. And I think that's a key line in that verse. Because too often in the church, we've embraced the sin, haven't we? We've allowed it to penetrate our hearts, and we're not salty when that happens. And he says, go and sin no more. Whatever sin you have, he says, you got to turn away from it. And when we go and sin no more, this is what he starts to say. Jesus says this when he spoke to the people, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that beautiful what Jesus says? He says, whoever follows me, whoever surrenders their life completely to me and walks in my light, you get life. You get the very light of the life of Christ put in you. And in this thing, he makes it really clear. I am that light, and I place that light in you. And you know what that light is for you and me? It's the Holy Spirit. He has placed the Holy Spirit inside of believers to be the light of the world. We said two things so far in Scripture. We are the light of the world, we, the church. And it said, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So who's the light of the world? Isn't that a conflict? Not at all. Jesus isn't here on earth anymore. Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, illuminating all of heaven and all of creation. You and I and the Holy Spirit are here on earth. And he has put his light in me, and he has put his light in you. We are the light of the world because of the light that was placed in us. It's Christ, the light of the world, is making you the light of the world. He says, this is something that you have to understand, because if you and I take ourselves out of the world becomes dark. If you and I let people water down Scripture and water down sin is sin, is, you know, this sin is not greater than this sin and this and this and this, and try to water down the Word of God, we lose our saltiness and we lose our brightness and we stop pushing darkness back, and that's what the church has done. The church is focused on religion, not on becoming the light of the world. The gospel message of Christ is simply this. He brings dead people to life. He brings people who are in darkness into the light. That's the gospel message. And he says that after you've accepted this simple message, you now are the light of the world, so you got to go and share that light. It's said in many different ways and all throughout Scripture. And there's another section of Scripture that John's talking about this incredible thing that God has placed us here and wants us to be an illumination of him to the world. And it's a powerful thing that he wants to do. He wants to show people life. He wants to show people light instead of darkness. That's what he wants. It's his deepest desire for us to come into a relationship and get rid of all of our baggage with God. And then it tells us this in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, if you don't remember, this is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through him, and this is a great verse, through Jesus, all things were made. Through Jesus, that's who Jesus is. He's the one who's made and created every single thing, and everything exists because of him. Without him, nothing would exist. Without him, you wouldn't exist. Without him, the world as that we see and breathe in would not exist. The universe, the stars would not exist without him. And then he goes on, he says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. And then verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Simply put, Jesus came into the world as the light to all men. He is the only way that we get the forgiveness of sin. He is the only way that we have the restoration with the Father. He is the only way that we breathe and live on this earth. And it says, not everybody's going to understand him. Not everybody's going to see the light, because some people are going to believe in the darkness, because the darkness might be fun to them. The darkness may cover up things. But he says, if you choose the light, you get life, and his light shines on you. Do you get this theme that all throughout Scripture so far that we've been looking at, that God is building something? He is building something to reveal his glory. And he says, I choose you guys. I choose this church to do this. To reveal the power and the glory of God to the world. We have a big responsibility, but it's exciting. Because no more do we have to walk in darkness. No more do we have to fear the darkness, because we have the light of God in us and given us the authority and the power and the strength to push back the darkness. Without us in the world, without us living out our faith, without us going out into the world will remain dark. So it's crucial that you and I start to become the light of the world. Let's stop hiding it under the bowl and start putting our light back up on the stand. Let's start shining the light of Christ. Let's start showing people what true love is. Let's show people what righteous living is, meaning that we're choosing to live right for God. Let's show people that there is restoration. That's the light of the world. John kind of says, or I'm sorry, go to Ephesians with me to chapter 5. There's something in the building process that happens after you build a house. You can have it all finished off. You can have everything done and looking very nice on the inside, but unless you plug the house into the power, the house will remain dark. And it will not illuminate. You've seen houses that sometimes have so much light that it almost looks like they got a runway. There you go. A runway for an airplane coming in. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He wants us to plug into him and illuminate us in this world. So that people will kind of come into our neighborhood and they'll go, whoa, these people are different because of the Spirit of the living God that's in them. And in Ephesians, Paul's talking about this, but he's kind of talking about practical. He says, for you were once darkness. So once we were dark, once we were walking there, once we let sin rule our lives. He says, but those of you that have accepted me, you don't choose that anymore. You've got to live the opposite of the world. For you were once darkness, but now, and there's a change here, there was a shift that happened, you are light in the Lord. You become something new. There's a new creation. You become alive as soon as you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you move from being in darkness to being a child of light. Look what it says next. It says, live as children of light. You and I, well, there's a transformation that's happened. We went from darkness, children of darkness, to children of light. And he says, but now you got to choose something. You got to choose to become a child living as children of the light. In other words, our identity has changed. There's a new us that has happened. And no more is the old here. The old is done away with. And my new identity is not in darkness. My new identity is in light. So major shift happened here. And then it goes on. So then live as children of light, and then verse 9, and here's what it looks like to live like a child of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. You know what the mission of a believer, a disciple of Christ is? First of all, it says right here, it says to live as children of light. Choosing to walk out of the darkness, choosing not to go down those paths that we know that are destructive. And then he says, our other mission is figure out what pleases God. What pleases God? A surrendered heart. A heart that is living in his word. A heart that is illuminating the world around him. That's what is pleasing to God. He says, that's our mission. Paul goes on. He says, if you're children of light, this is how you have to live. He says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of the darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, and this is the gospel message, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So you have to make a choice, it tells us. A choice to become the light in this world. A choice to live as a child of God. A choice to go against our selfish desires. A choice to go opposite of the world. A choice to break out of religion and walking in the strength and the power of the light of Christ. He says these are things that as a child of light we have to choose. He's not going to force it on you. But he says when you do, my light is going to come in. And it's going to do some incredible work. It's going to change things, and it's going to move you from life or from death to life, from darkness to light. But then there's a little warning. He says, okay, yes, you can do this. Become a child of God. Become a child of light. live in such a way that, that people can see it. And then he says, but in verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. So you simply have this little warning saying, make sure you're choosing wisdom, the right wisdom. And that's why I had you guys reading through Proverbs. 31 chapters. Most of you should be almost done with it. A few more to go. In Proverbs is the wisdom of God telling us how to be children of light in the world. Choosing his way versus the world's way. And he says, if you stick in this, then you're my children and you're going to make a difference. You're going to become that light. And even in Isaiah, it's amazing. It's all pointing that we're going to be children of light. In Isaiah, in chapter 9, verses 2, it says, the people walking in great darkness have seen a great light. And that's the gospel, isn't it? We were in darkness, now we're in light because of Christ. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. I mean, there's something unique about the light of Christ. You can't contain it. It's like a sunrise rising up. The light kind of spreads at dawn, and it spreads not just over one area, it spreads across the entire world. And Jesus says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to be this kind of light. And as Jesus keeps pointing to us being these children of light, I just want to read Matthew again. In Matthew chapter 14, it says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Do you believe that you are the light of the world? You are, because you have the light of Christ in you. And you are responsible for carrying that light and displacing the darkness and going out into the world. You're responsible now because if God has revealed something to you. And then it goes on, it says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light, which is the light of Christ in us, shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise God the Father. I just want to say this just a little bit different. Without you and I in the world, darkness is going to take over. Church, we have to step up. Church, we have to change. We have to stop going through meaningless forms, meaningless religion, and we have to start becoming the children of light. We have to start to choose different lifestyles in the world around us. We have to choose to let Christ fill us to the full measure that he wants to, so we can go out and we can be a light and people can go, wow, that's amazing. I don't always do that because I get caught in the rut, just like everybody else. But God reminded me when I went to the Apple store. I've been having phone issues. And it's about a week and a half of trying to get into the Apple store. It's been frustrating. Calling there, making an appointment, going there, and then all of a sudden they would say, sorry, sir, you don't have an appointment. I'm like, what? Yes, I do, but I didn't do that. I just turned around and walked out because there's so many people. And then the third time, I call, I'm like, I really need to get in. I'm going somewhere, and I really need my phone. And the lady says, Friday, 5:50. You can, and I'm like, I'll make it there. Get to the Apple store. The lady pulls up her little iPad. Sorry, sir, you don't have an appointment. And inside, my light was not very bright, but fortunately, I kept my mouth. And I didn't get upset. I just said, oh, okay. I really need my phone. This was very simple. And she said, sir, why don't you stand over here, and we'll put you to the top of the line. We don't know how long that's going to be. 2 minutes kind of went by, and somebody's waiting on me. The guy started a conversation with me, lasted 45 minutes. I never thought it would take that long to upgrade an iPhone. He started to talk to me, and he said, there's something different about you. He said, you didn't get upset. You didn't do a rant or rave. He watched me the whole time coming in. And then he started to talk to me about his life. He said, do you mind if I talk to you a little bit? And I'm like, I don't have anywhere else to go. I need a phone. I'm a captured audience. And he's talking to me, and he starts telling me how he one day opened up the Bible because he's in a really hard time, and in the Old Testament, he found Jesus. But while he's walking in this earth, his wife left him with his children. He turned away from God. In fact, he married a witch. And he began to talk about all the demonic oppression, seeing things flying through their home. He said things that he never thought he would ever see in his lifetime. And he's trying to find his way back. And I'm talking to him, sharing with him, just listening to him. And all of a sudden, you know what he says? I feel the Holy Spirit here right now, in the middle of the Apple store. And all of a sudden, in that moment, all of a sudden I realized how true these scriptures are. There's a light that was burning in here that he saw. That light was being just waiting. It was just waiting to burst out and show this guy that there's hope. Show that this guy that God still loves you, even though you chose to go into witchcraft after you knew him. There's still hope. And God's going to break him free and set him free. And he could already feel it. And he began talking about how he wants to do a ministry. And I was able to say, do it. Step into the water. You know about the unseen battle. People need to understand it. And all of a sudden, this guy is just all of a sudden becoming alive. Unknowingly, the light of God is coming out. And it's all because I said, God, I want you to use me. I got to thank the kids. They accepted me. They did never look at me as an old man, except for when I got up in the morning. They started the fire that God started a long time ago in here. They rekindled it because of their hearts, wanting to know that God is real, wanting to go out into the world and make an impact and reveal Jesus Christ to people they come in contact with. Church, when I came here, I asked God not to let us be a complacent church. If I was going to leave a business where I was making money and come into youth ministry to little teeny money, God, you better use me. Because I look at complacency as being dead in a coffin just with the top off of it. And these kids on the beach, they saw an awakening happening in their heart. They saw a movement of the Holy Spirit that brings healing, that brings restoration, that brings hope, that revives, and that bursts forth a light that is going to change the world. I don't want to be a church going through religion anymore. I'm guilty. I'm used to doing systems, used to making things go smooth. I want to be that church that is not holding the light under the bowl, that is not the church that is just sitting here reading scriptures and just in prayer huddles. We need to do all that. That's good stuff. But I want to be the church that is putting the light on the stand. Because Jesus said it this way in Corinthians, or I guess it wasn't Jesus, it was Paul. It says, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Can I just read that again? Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This jar of clay, God has put his power and glory in. It might be a cracked pot, but the light that God planted in there is shining out to the earth through the cracks. And it's time that we as a church stop staying here and get into the world. Wherever you're at, your place of work, your family, school, college, the road, the Apple store, Rivertown Mall, let's be the light. And let's start to push back the darkness. Because here's what I know. Scripture just told us that Jesus is not in the world anymore. He's in the heavenly thrones. But he's placed a light in us. And wherever we're at is where Jesus is. And we have a responsibility wherever we are to let that light out. Because Jesus wants to show mankind, who the Father is. So let's be a church. It's not going through religion, not going through motions or programs, but a church that's being led by the Spirit of God that is pushing back the darkness. Because God is building something, and it's going to be greater than you can imagine. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about what he's going to do in here. So will you join us on the journey? I don't know what it looks like, but I know when I come back, God is going to start something even greater. Because he said, you are the light to the world. You are my representation of Christ here. Go. Go and be the light. Join me in prayer. God, we just look to you this morning, and I thank you that you are a God that has put something in us that is beyond us, and that is your Spirit. And even though we might be a little cracked and messed up, you choose to reveal your glory through us. Don't understand why you chose that, but you've chose that. God, help us to be children of light. Children that are choosing your ways versus the ways of the world. Choosing to lay our lives down. Choosing to surrender everything before you. And choosing light over darkness. God, we thank you that you are a God that is pursuing. And Lord, we just give you this church. And we confess. We've been religious. We haven't been the light. God, take us back. Mold this church. Shape it into the church that is a city on a hill with a light that is shining. And may we see lives changed because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.